receive the wisdom of God. I receive the power of God. Let that be your prayer. I receive the wisdom. The word of God is instructing my heart. The word of God is instructing my reins. As the word of God is coming, my eyes, they see. And my ears, they hear. My eyes, they see. And I work effectively for God. Because all of my being respond to the word of the Lord. All of my being respond to God. All of my being respond to Him. My eyes, they see. My eyes see what God is showing me. I see the pathways of God. As the word of God is coming, sanctifying my spirit. It's sanctifying my heart. The Bible says, blessed are the pure in spirit. They will see God. They will see God. They will see the pathways of God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Because He revealed His ways to Moses. But He revealed His acts to the people. Lord, help me see Your ways. That I may follow ardently. That I may follow with every totality of my being. Now pray for a pastor. Say, Lord, we bless. Let Your blessing come upon him. Let Your blessing. We call him blessed, Lord. We call him blessed. Every word he speaks, Lord. Oh, grace. It is filled with grace. It is filled with grace. It is filled with grace. It is going on the wings of the Spirit. The mind of God is made known. As he opens his mouth, the mind of God is made known. The mind of God is made known. Jesus is being glorified. Jesus is being glorified as Lord and Christ. He's being glorified. Begin to say thank you. Thank you because today you will be blessed. All the glory and honor is ascribed to the Father and the Son forever and ever. In Jesus' powerful name we have worshipped. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. The Lord is good. Amen.
Amen.
All right. What we'll do first, when we are praying on Tuesdays, is to first pray and then we study the word of God and we'll continue to pray. So we're going to sit down for a moment, all right, while we study. Before we do that, can we take our word of understanding, all right, our declaration of understanding. Are you ready for that? If you are blessed, say amen.
Amen.
All right, with that kind of attitude of being blessed, can you do that declaration? One, two, let's go. Now I declare. Wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, and I'm being filled with the knowledge of His will, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord, and pleasing Him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work, and I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to His word. God is entering my heart, is giving me light and direction, is healing me in every area. And it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. All right, the Lord is good. Let's take our seats. Now let's start again. Well, I think we'll come to an end of that short series on the gospel of life and health. We'll come to an end of it today or next time, not sure. But very soon. And now, how do we start? Let me remind us of some things we have said. We can't say them enough. Peter said, I know you know these things, but I won't neglect to remind you of them. We've seen that the will of God is what? Total health. The will of God is what?
Total health.
That's it. He said, the thief comes not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I have come that you will have life and have it what? More abundantly. Thank you. The plan of God is that life will be abundant. Life will be abundant. Once I was driving down that prison, old prison road, going to, what's the name of that? There's one big bus station. I'm going down towards Newmarket. Entraco, I think so. Huh? I was going down, you know that road anyway. What do you call that road? The road is called Kingsway. I know you know the road anyway. I was driving down that road, I remember very well. And that day, it was hot. The car I was using then was not air conditioned. So, I could feel the heat. You know, this, if your car is air conditioned, you're not sure how hot it is outside because you have a regular homeothermic environment. Everything is just steady, okay? But that day was really hot. I was inside my car, it was air conditioned, and it was hot. So, I could feel the hot tropical heat in the afternoon. It was something around 1 o'clock, 1 to 2. It was really hot. And I was inside a hold up. You see what I'm talking about it? So I looked to my left, and there was a big tree. You know, because I'm a teacher of the Word of God, I see all kinds of things. A tree. And guess what? The tree, all the leaves were big, and they were green. They don't know me. Don't you know it's hot? Do you follow my point? That your leaves by now should have withered or something. And then in my mind, I said, oh, it has life.
Hallelujah.
That day, I understood the meaning of life. The environment was adverse. Yet the tree was green. Do you follow my point?
Yes.
Why? It has life. It has life. You go to the desert, cactus will still be green. Everywhere is dry, but it's still green. Do you know why? It has life. What is life? Life is that spiritual force that sustains your vitality despite the difficult environment. That is life. Life does not mean just to breathe. I remember that day very well. I remember. That's like I first took time out to describe where I was. And I looked up and the Holy Spirit said, hey, it has life. Look at you. The heat will not disturb it. It has life. But let somebody take out the roots. That's when you know that the environment is hard. Do you follow my point? Go there, take out the roots. Leave all the leaves. Come back in 2 days. By the end of the day anyway, you already notice the difference. 2 days later, all the leaves are no longer green. They are sagging. At the end of the week, they are all brown, drying up. Then the environment starts exerting its toll. Why? It has lost life. So Jesus said, I've come that they might have what? Life. Sorry, I can't help this. Let me just give you some more gist. One of our brothers, he and I chatted this afternoon. Somebody wrote something about Nigeria. The president used to be head of one of these big companies in Nigeria. I was trying to encourage Nigerians to be careful the way they look at things, okay? So, I forwarded to one of our brothers. And then he sent me his reply. And he said something. He said, what? Those who have chosen what they want to see, they will continue to see the negative things. And if you want to see what is good, God will show them to you. And he gave me a simple example. He said, First Bank share price during COVID was 3 naira. He said, now it is 46. He bought them at 3 naira. Did you hear my point? In 4 years. He said, everybody will be shouting about Tesla, Nvidia, and all of that. He said, it's happening behind their back. They don't notice it. So they'll be making noise about how naira has fallen in value. He says, sir, I invested $500 with this company when they asked for money years ago. He said, they sold a part of it a few years later and gave me back $10,000. He said, it's what you want to see, you will see. He said, it's what you want to see, you will see. He said, you can sit down there and be telling me how naira has lost value. Now, I'm adding many words now. I will show you what value has been created for some of us who God gave eyes. Imagine that you bought shares of that bank for 1 million naira or 3 million naira. You know what it is now? In less than 4 years. Are you following what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
People will tell you that, you know, the country is going down. Naira is losing value. Is it a lie? Oh, it's not a lie. When I saw that tree, was it true that the sun was hot? Was it true that it was burning hot? That's what I told you, my car didn't have AC. I felt the heat. Did the tree care? The tree did not care. Why? It had life. You know what life means? Despite the difficult circumstances, you will thrive.
Hallelujah.
You will flourish.
Amen.
That's what it means to have life. And he said, I came that you may have life and have it more abundantly. That is, in every ramification. So, back to what John said. He said, I pray for you so that you will prosper and be in health. Because I've heard that you are walking in the truth. And if you are walking the truth, you should not be sick. If you are walking in the truth, you should not be frustrated with life. If you are walking in the truth, you should prosper. You shouldn't be poor. If you are walking, it's not whether the economy is good. That's why I like that testimony the brother gave me this afternoon. If I forwarded to the person who shared that thing with my group, I said, look at what somebody said. I didn't tell him, of course. He was giving me personal information, so I just said,
You don't know who it is, but read this. Just to confirm what you were sharing with us. Bishop Edepo used to say something those days. He said, country is down. Does not mean everybody is down. You are the one that is down. He said, don't assume that everybody is down. He said, country is down. He said, you are down. Yes, we know. But don't just assume everybody is down. Pastor Chris Okotie used to say something those days. I went to his church one day. He was preaching. He said, no calamity takes everybody. That God will spare some people. God flooded the whole earth. He spared Noah. God by himself flooded the whole earth. He spared Noah. Spared his children. Sodom and Gomorrah, everything wiped out. Lot was spared. His family was spared. It's his wife that just wouldn't leave Lot alone. Would not leave Sodom alone. If his wife would have left Sodom alone, she too would have been spared. Why she was not spared was that she held on to that which was drowning. You're on a boat. The boat is going down. You hold the boat like this because you pay so much money for it. That was the problem with Mrs. Lot. But that calamity will have spared her. Spared her husband. Spared her children. What am I trying to say? Stop sitting down, focusing on that which is not working. It's working for some people. It is working for some people. And you know why I'm talking about it? Jesus said, I came that everything will work for you. So I have come so that they might have what? Life. And then they will have life more abundantly. You know what? They tell you, there's a cholera outbreak. I hope you know the outbreak is breaking upon specific individuals. On the surface, it looks like a game of chance. But if you go into the realm of the spirit, before the thing starts killing, before any plague starts killing, the angel or demon, whoever is in the operation of death, has a list. This one can be sick but can't die. But those spirits are moving like, angel of death doesn't make you sick for 5 days. Doesn't have that patience. It makes you sick for like 2 hours and you're dead. Somebody is sick for 5 days before he dies. Angel of death came on the 5th day. Infirmity went for day one. That one just sit with you. Be squeezing your legs, squeezing your stomach, squeezing your back, squeezing. It's the last day. Let me drop this. What the spirit of infirmity does sometimes is to persuade you to give up. And many times if it cannot do that, that angel or spirit of death will wait forever. Be frustrated with wait. I don't want to talk about spiritual dynamics now. Sometimes, look, God says this one, it can't go unless. In fact, I remember the story of one story told by Neville Johnson. It was a vision she had. One Christian woman, a bus knocked her and she died. Good Christian, she was in her 70s. And then it was like, what happened? What happened? God said, that was the only way to get her. God told the prophet, I needed to take this girl home. That if any sickness comes, the way she will attack it, the spirit will run away. That there's nothing that one black American woman, very hot, you know, fervent in spirit. So God said, this girl, you have to come home. So one day she crossed the road, she did not look. A bus hit her. But the truth is that before the bus hit, the Lord has sucked her away. But he needed to give them a cause of death. So let them record that it was trauma. Now I remember the story is that they said the woman was one firebrand like this, who didn't used to take nonsense from anybody, including sickness. That even God could, that is, you say you are the spirit of infirmity. The girl will make you sick. Now you are the spirit of infirmity. This old girl will make you, and you are the spirit of infirmity. This is how she used to fight at everything. Everybody left her alone. No infirmity. She was 70 something. A small aside then. That is why don't enjoy pity. You go and lie down and cover so people can tell you sorry. Small thing will do. You come to a church or a group of friends and bend your head. Hey, what is the problem? Hey. If you know what I've been going through, tell us. So, well, they want to hear. You don't need that thing. You don't need that thing. See, you're not feeling well. You know what you do? and you want to go out, go and have a bath. Force yourself to have a bath. If you're a woman, make up well. Wear your fine dress. Use all the energy in you to smile. Pray that nobody notices anything. And you live there feeling happy. Do you get my point?
Yes, sir.
Don't go and think that, let me go there so that everybody can feel sorry for me. They can pray for me. Prayer is good, but sometimes it's not prayer you're looking for, it's pity. Sometimes it's not prayer we are looking for, it's what? Pity. And what do I mean by pity? Well, sorry, have you eaten? Should I go and bring food? That's the one you want. People to be. You know, I've seen many of us, you know, first, you know, children are like that. Children, there's a. Because what happens is that children learn quickly that if I'm down, I get a lot of attention. Okay? So they are not often in a hurry after, you know, after some time, yes, to recover. Some adults now learn that and carry it on. Yes. Look, I have found out this is fact. Eh? In life, sometimes, if you're tired of sickness, it will just leave you. Sabi, I don't tire. I can't lie down for you. I have where to go. Sickness, sir, I come and lie down here now. Say, no. Your stomach is bending you. Say, later. You won't come and go so you can be near the toilet. No. The spirit will say, now, wow. Yeah, sometimes it happens like that. I was thinking of somebody today. Yeah, today. No, I do meditations, just thinking. And I felt like saying to the fellow, you know what? You like being broke. The people like being broke. They like, and please let me beg you, don't like it. No. Funny enough, I'm going through my mind. I know a number of people like that. They just like being broke. Now, they want to know there is a bad habit they are starting. Now, this is how it starts. Now, okay, this is how you know you like being broke. You use it as an excuse not to do many things. Let's contribute money for something. You will tell a story. Now, you're not lying, no. But you like telling the stories. I've given this testimony before. My friend, Pastor Courage, is currently our alumni fellowship president. He's been president for some time. I was president before him. I was president for about 8 years. Then he's been president now for, at least 6 years. I'm not very sure of how long. So those days, he didn't have much money, right? And the way we run our convention is free will. We run the association. Every activity is free will contributions. Nobody is levied, okay? Nobody is levied. And whatever you give is not discussed. I was president for so long. In all those 8 years, apart from what my family give, I think it's not up to 5 times that I knew how much any person gave. And I was president. I don't think it's more than 5 times. Okay, if you remove the people that sent money through me, like our friends who are abroad, hey, Banky, please, I want to send money for Lukav. All right, I will send to you, then I will deliver. Do you know that kind of thing? So I'll know how much the person sent. So if you remove places like that, and there are those who just feel like, hey, Presido, please, we want to send money. All right, where do we send it to? And I have to send them to, they now send me information that, okay, we send this amount of money. Those are the only ones that made me know what anybody give. There was never a time I took a list, okay, show me who gave what. I didn't used to know. We had a secretary, and we had there are two people used to know. Our secretary and financial secretary. Yeah, two of them. All right, because secretary got all the bank transaction alerts, and the financial secretary had to print, do the printout, and then maybe the treasurer. But me, I was president, I didn't care. Now, there's a reason I'm telling this. That's how we used to do. So, those days. So, Pastor Corey said something when they gave a testimony. He will come all the way as a pastor of a church he started in the corners in Sokoto. He said coming down and going back was a lot of, because traveling from that distance is expensive. Whether you're coming by road or coming by air. So this is, of course, you come by road. Now, where I'm going, this is not today's Niles, many years ago. So he said, okay, let me just give you a testimony. So when you play, we used to just write how much you would give. He said he used to give 10,000 naira. Every year, 10,000. This was long ago. It's not today's Niles. And he said one day he just told himself, this is what I'm saying. He said, what nonsense is this? So this 10,000 is all I'll be giving. So just wrote 100. Instead of 10, wrote 100. Not the 100,000 of today, so years ago. No, let me explain. For certain reasons, these are the times I tell you I know what people gave. Two of our brothers, who were all company workers, were giving 100,000 each two. And this pastor gave 100,000.
Am I telling the story?
Please follow my story.
He said one day, he told him, he said, ah, what, 10,000? What? Won't it change? So he just wrote down, when they pledge,
100,000 there. Except that he didn't have 100,000. But nobody's putting under pressure. But the money had to be paid before the next meeting. Otherwise, we didn't fulfill it for that year. He said, do you know what happened? He asked 5,000, he was sent. As the meeting was getting close, maybe just get the last, somebody sent him 6,000 naira, he will send 5,000. There was a day he transferred money 3 times. That our secretary then called him and said, man of God, what is going on? He said, God is going on. because the guy said, this money must be complete. And that particular year, something happened. When we finished, it was a bit unusual. All our bills were not paid. So we needed to talk to brethren to look, shape up, all right? So that was the year that I just spoke generally, just told everybody, hey, come on, God has blessed you, come on, behave the way you have been blessed, all right? And of course, they cleared all the bills. If our one brother came out, if our secretary that day, our financial secretary. So there was some money one brother sent to me for the, and as I said, I told him about it, but then I had not had time to do the transfer. I said, please, as soon as I get back to Enugu, I will transfer that money, all right, and some other money. Maybe I wanted to give some extra. He said, no, take your time. I said, what do you mean take your time? I want to settle all our bills. He said, no, the bill is taken care of. I said, what happened? He said, when you finish speaking, one brother came out, brother, is the problem? Why the million naira? I said, good, not a million today. In today's naira, that would be like 5 million. I said, very good. Now, why am I telling this story now, okay? It's because his brother, so that's how come I knew. I was not telling somebody, they're not telling the other brother I gave 100,000. I said, is he crazy? How can I give 100,000? He has money now. So I was so angry, I called and reported him to his friend. That I heard your friend gave 100,000. I said, I warned him that. I said, is that correct? He said, okay, can I confess? I said, what? He said, I also gave 100,000. I said, hang that phone. I said, hang that phone now. I'm going to put more money. The reason why I tell this story is because of my friend, who even though he didn't have, he said, no, I am not going to stay on this level. And God honored him. I'm sure dropping the 100,000 is not an issue anymore. Now, why did I tell that story? Someone will keep on telling stories. You know I'm a pastor. You know I pastor in this corner of Nigeria. And they will tell that story all the time. So all they ever do is tell stories. You know I'm broke. You know I don't have. Listen, don't use stories to deny yourself blessings. Giving is a blessed thing. It is more blessed to give. If you can go and sell something, what are you doing with an expensive phone? Tell yourself, I want to break this back of, and I don't have. Story every time. What I'm saying, you know me and money, I don't say so you can reap. No, I don't. You just look at your phone, say, what nonsense is this? I bet who won't buy? It's a good phone. Why do you want to sell it? None of your business. It's good. If you check, I'll give you for 3 days. Go and use it for 3 days. And check whether it's working. How much do you give me for it? Take the money. Go back to the market. Go and buy a cheap. You know, there's a smartphone and there's a stupid phone. Go and buy a dumb phone. Then that money, go and share it out. Just stop. Now come, let's eat now. Drag your friend to the mall. Sit down there. Buy food. You won't know what you are doing. Say, eat. Do you want ice cream? Oh, no. Come on, go ahead. The guy will not know that it's your phone, the two of you are eating. I know what I'm telling you. Just tell yourself, I am tired of being the poorest person in the society. Every time it's story. You know I don't have. You know they didn't pay. They didn't pay, you are eating. Take that food, spread it in two, give away half. Seriously, you can't afford to go around telling stories. Family people gather, they want to do something. Yeah, you know they don't pay us regularly. The pastor bank, what if they don't pay regularly? Okay, let's take it step by step. Number one, hate telling the story. Just start from there. So this family, we are sharing the money. We need to raise a millionaire. Your portion is 200,000. Don't protest. Say, the Lord will help me. Say it like that. Not, you know, I work for civil service. So when is the money due? In 3 months. I'm not sure. 200,000 is a lot of money. All fingers are not equal. You are the only one that knows. And your finger is the short one. Mr. Storyteller. And you're feeling very comfortable. Story. Once upon a time, they didn't pay us. You've told that story in how many years? I was like, what if I don't? All I've told you to, just stop telling it. What is in this family? We are sharing out the money, 200,000 per person, and you are a senior. Right? One of our brothers is not here. Now, so anytime they want to do something in your house, his elder brother never has. And he thinks this is our guy here. He's not around. You don't know who I'm talking about. You think it's because he has. I say, no, it's not because he has. It's because he's responsible. The people that do a lot of things, sometimes it's not because they have, just because they are responsible. So they make giving priority. It's the first thing they do. They've given before. They don't give out of what they have left over. To them, giving is next to breathing. He says, "Nasir, brother, tell story, and you are the senior brother. That's how to sell your inheritance." Next thing, every time they want to talk, they are talking to your brother. They say, "Hey, poverty yap man." It's not poverty that yap man. It's man that yap man. There's a way you will carry yourself. Everybody will respect you. The not of the one you don't have, you squeeze. Maybe the money, yes, is plenty. You don't have all of that. But the one you can, you squeeze it. You bring it out. And what you can't do with cash, you do with kind. You're supposed to maybe build a bungalow in the village for your father. And you say, I don't have. And you don't come to supervise. Are you mad? If you don't have, you shouldn't be busy. How can you be poor with time and money? You must have one of them. You should have one. It's true. So let the guy who's dropping millions, you understand? Be flinging. Okay, you. The small you drop, you put it there. Then you turn it to energy. You come there. You be shouting on the laborers. Come on. They steal one cement. Before they can't steal one cup of cement from that place. You will ensure it. That's the giving spirit I'm talking about. Look, I've seen people so comfortable with everybody else doing everything. You know, things are rough. 10 years ago, you said things are rough. 9 years ago, and you have not died, it's not that rough. If it was that rough, you're supposed to not die, maybe like 6 years ago. story. And you know, you don't be watching everybody else do everything. And you are comfortable. Know the truth? You are not responsible. All the stories you are telling, the core thing is irresponsibility. The core thing. I'm telling you, so sometimes in life, just get angry and tired. You get my point? Just angry. That's how you go to church. Just be angry. Say, Sunday service, all you've been giving is 1,000 naira, 500 naira, 200 naira, 100 naira offering. You just come there today. You don't plan for everybody. Offering time, you whip out an envelope, hold it. Hold up your offering. Wave it to the Lord. Today, you didn't know what you are doing. You wave a fat envelope. 20K, drop it inside. You go home, then you trek home. You can't even pick a head to go home. You go home to chop, you will scrape the bottom of. You know, you should have a lot of. Though beans also is expensive, this is. As long as you have a lot of beans. No, when I was a young man, I had beans. I had plenty of it. At the beginning of the month, I bought it plenty. So if money finished, beans not the finish. Look, it was when I got married, I started eating things like, I don't think I could identify sausage from a distance before I married. I'm not sure. I didn't say I can't. I can't remember. There's one girl that I might just get come big, come house, fry egg, put sausage inside, buy my own. I just looked at this guy after I was married, say, now, wow. I'm just looking at this guy, say, now, wow. Why do people have to eat like this? True story, ask her. I didn't. Look, I was just used to managing myself. That's what I'm saying. I was very good at it too. You could never see it in my face. Always joyful and happy. With little I had, generous too. I shared everything. What is it? What are we doing with money? I told you once, God made me go and buy shoes because he said, this boy, if his sister shows up, he will share the money. That's what I used to do with my money, share it. I was so sure I wouldn't die in poverty. Don't even worry about that. I didn't have any doubt. Please, I want us to just get, let's not get so used to what is not good. I just use that money as an example. This morning, I just think, so I say, I feel like telling this fellow. You know this guy, that's say, everything, say, let's go here. Ah, you know, fuel is now 750. Let me free the cars. There are things where you do, you should be ashamed. That's what I'm talking. Just be ashamed of them. It's your birthday, let's drink Coke. You know how they say Coke now? Abba. We don't know. You are the only one that your birthday will come and pass. Nobody has ever eaten puff puff. And any poor person in this country. It's not money, it's a bad habit. I'm not saying people can never be broke, that's not my point. But I hate the idea. And what do I mean? Stop giving it as a story to tell every time. You know, Pastor Corey said something there. Please, let me give his testimony. He got married, passed pioneering in the church, up in Sokoto there. He didn't have anybody sponsoring him, nothing. He married. So, and you know, the way it, and it's, oh, in case you don't know, he's a first son. He's a first son. Some of you think that because he doesn't have responsibilities. A man is a first son of a Benin family. You know what that means? Till now, he's still giving out people in marriage. Traveling all over the country. He said, my brother is wedding. I have to go to Calabar. My brother is wedding. I have to go here. Because now he's a father of the family. And then his father was alive. The mother is still alive. How will Christmas come and nothing will drop? He said, you know what happened? The time he shared the testimony a few locales ago, I wanted to share the message. I think I still have the message somewhere. Just that I won't know which one of them. Having the giving spirit. That's what I'm talking about. So people say, oh, congrats, you got married. They bring wine, you will keep it. They bring anything, he refused to eat it. He kept everything. December time, he started packing. Gifts people have been giving him. He pack 2-3 bottles of wine, put something, tie it, label it for this person, for that person. Christmas time, people were receiving gifts from him. Uncles, everybody, aunties. Something just had to drop. Some people just tell stories. You know, I'm a pioneer pastor. I don't, I'm not a redeemed pastor. I'm not a winner's pastor. I don't have a headquarter parish. You will tell that story until everybody will not know that you win a Nobel Prize for poverty. Because they won't stop hearing the story. Because now Nigeria is always doing Nobel, what they call it, Guinness World Record for everything now. But you know, he didn't do that. He said, no. Something must drop. So people give him, he said, no, I don't need to drink wine. He told me one story. Somebody dashed one very nice gold-plated wristwatch. So he looked at it and said, never rich. He wrapped it. One day saw somebody, he dashed person. That no, I must give. I must be a giver. All he was getting was, I got your message, yo. God bless you. I got your message, yo. God bless you. Of course, from there, he graduated to sending cash. From there, Granada sent him rice, bag of rice. Like that. Because God said, this boy will not agree to be poor. I had a friend in this town. He's left town now. My wife and I used to laugh. Said, this guy, we used to pray for him behind his back. He said, God, please, give him money before you give us because it's more important to him. The way we used to pray, say, God, you must bless our brother. You must bless our brother. Because of the way he used to do. Then maybe we'll go to Nike Lake those days, you know. As you go, all those cleaners at the pool. There are a few. Money, sir. Don't dash best money. This guy will be dashing money everywhere. Nothing was ever too expensive for him to buy. He needed something, he will buy it. And I knew he didn't have money. Giving you money was not a problem. Me, I hate people who are working and doing Tirogo. I don't know what they do to Tirogo. He do and like this. Him, he didn't care. He got dash. The way he used to live like a big man. My wife and I said, let's pray for this guy. He must have money. In Jesus' name, you must have, in Jesus' name, God must bless you. We're praying for him. I'm not kidding. Because of his attitude. He will never give I don't have as an excuse for anything. I hope you're getting my point.
Yes,
now, what are we talking about? I just want to emphasize the fact that, of course, you know, I took a digression in that sometimes you just get tired. It's a mental thing. You understand? It's a spiritual, you know, thing that you need to do. Just say, no, I'm tired of this. That's why I just give that one as what? An example. Using that money issue as an example. So you don't stop, you know, keep on telling everything as stories. And old people are the ones that like that the most. Person never cross he's just 50 years old, started telling stories of he can't go somewhere because he's of his age. 50. Let's kill him, not catch him in one corner. The guy will beat you, then walk away. Who beat him? Say, I'm an 85-year-old man. Does he look at me? They won't know he's the one that almost killed you. At 85, Caleb will just, after beating you, straighten his clothes, put his ID card, 85. When police looked at him, said, who beat this guy? I have the right to remain silent. The policeman will look at his tag. How old are you? That one I can tell you, 85. I better go. This guy has been beaten by an 18-year-old, 25-year-old, a 30-year-old, not an 85-year-old man. Caleb will leave the policeman look at you and say, I'll be back tomorrow. I say, oh, God, arrest him. Why should I arrest an 85-year-old man? Because you like to tell stories about your age. You're the oldest person in the world. Saw one video recently. They're studying old people. You know, when I've been talking about medicine, I say some people think that, why are you talking like this? You're not a real doctor. I'm telling you, I'm a doctor from heaven. I know, yeah. There's one man, they did a scan of his head. His brain. He has Alzheimer's disease. He's 90-something, 99, and he remembers everything. Did you hear what I said? Did you hear what I said? He's supposed to have, he has the plaques and tangles. Everything that they say is wrong with the brain that makes people have Alzheimer's disease. He has it. There's only one problem. He doesn't forget anything. He tells you a story of his first car, which he bought 80 years ago, at the age of 18. He said, you mean you won it at a pool table? He said, no. I said, I bought it at a pool table. I wasn't playing. The man needed money. So I bought it for $50. Wow. And he tells you about the car. The man is about 99 years old. He's telling stories. There's no, said, what's today's date? He tells you. Subtract 7 from 90, tells you 83. Subtract 7 from that. He keeps giving it to you. The man has no problem. He picked the phone and he showed the man driving around. The neurologist there speaking said, now we have to rethink a lot of things. There was one woman, forgot everything. Everything, she used to forget everything. Then finally she died. They examined her brain and there was nothing wrong with it. But she could not remember anything. When I've been telling you that, better read your Bible. Instead of following something read in the medical journal, read your Bible. You are 50. You are the only one to be 50. You have gone to sign an agreement that I will be hypertensive. I will have diabetes. My prostate will give problems. You write the whole thing down. Because you never see 50-year-old before. Yeah, 60. I'm not that young anymore. There was a time I found out in America, business executives used to be proud of their ulcer, stomach ulcer. It was a sign that they were working hard. Everything. Oh, no, I can't eat that. You know, I have an ulcer. Why? Because they wanted to know they are working hard. The richest man in the world that time was from him. I learned it. I read about it. He said, these boys are lazy. That was his own interpretation. This was the richest man in the world, J.P. Gates. He wrote about it. He said, every little boy has ulcer. He said, these are lazy people. where they were bragging about it. Hey, man, you got ulcer? I got ulcer. Man, give me five ulcer, boys. Why? It was a sign of stress. You know, an old man was looking at them. Just shame on all of you. You know what I'm trying to explain to you? Don't be happy with someone. Just be dissatisfied. Be dissatisfied. I talked to one of my colleagues, met her at the airport one day in Abuja. So we're both waiting for an Enugu flight. So you know, we started talking. Then her phone rang. And she picked the call and said, oh, that's my father. Father congratulated about something. Okay. I was not telling her something. I said, please write it down. You see, you know, because the man was greeting her, congratulating her the third or fourth time for the same thing. So she laughed, said, my father has dementia. So he just saw her husband. I said, oh, you know, I just said, oh, you know, she went for this, oh, call to congratulate her. Meanwhile, he had greeted her three times for the same thing. So she was saying that, you see, now, she now said, you know, there's dementia in my family, so write that thing down so I don't forget to. I looked at her. There's dementia in your family. Your father is 90, you're not even ashamed of yourself. If you old pass me, I just small. I'm already using dementia to harass my soul. I won't write it. Instead of you to start telling yourself, I shouldn't forget anything. And to be using to test, okay, if your mother now has dementia, now, by the time you're 65, you would have double dementia. Forget everything from your father's side. Forget everything from your mother's side. They say, the sister will now say, is that all? Let me forget my children too. And deep inside, you are happy that now, me too, I have dementia. It's a sign of old age. You don't know what I want to tell you. Let me just keep my fingers here. I want you to do like this. Which in Nigeria means, what does it mean? Just means worker. Which doesn't have any meaning. Mare to you. Maggie. What is this? One reason is that, look, I'm not trying to, of course, I'm not saying directly we have control of all these, but don't be proud of some things. There's one sister we had those days, and we used to run away. Somebody said, let's go back to our house. I said, no, I'm not going. Say, why? I said, I'm tired of hearing tales of woe. The guy laughed. He said, oh, you noticed? I said, why won't I notice? When he stopped at her door, she was a married woman, pregnant. Say, do you know I'm not eating for 4 days? Oh, God. Oh, God. Do you remember one story mommy told when she was speaking last year? One day she got home, she was pregnant with her first daughter. Her first child. Alright? So, she got home and something made her nauseous. And she threw up. You know what she did? She went and laid down. And was waiting for her husband to come back. When her husband came back. Hey, honey, how are you? I've been throwing up since morning. She threw up only one time. She told the story herself. One time like this, now she threw up. You know what she wanted? Pet me now. Pele me now. Rub my back now. You know, I'm a young bride now. Of course, oh, sorry. Pele, what would you like to eat? And God said, you want to throw up? You will throw up. She could not eat for the next 5 months. See, everything she put in her stomach, she threw up. Everybody gains weight during pregnancy. She lost 7 kg during pregnancy. Now, she's the one that told us the testimony, so that's why I can tell you. He said, God said, you want to throw up? No problem. She's a doctor. She said she had never seen that degree of hyperemesis gravidarum before. Her husband couldn't wear perfume, couldn't shave. Any smell, she threw up. You can't cook. She can't smell fish, can't smell meat, can't smell water. I just added that water part. But everything I told you, fact. Perfume, you can't use it. You know, shaving powder to normal people was a problem. So how much more? Said she lost weight. She said one day, to be able to eat, her husband drove her from Onitsha to Owerri. Yes, because somebody said there's a woman that cooks something special.
She suffered. Eh? You know the cause of suffering? Then the story, because she told the story by herself. So next pregnancy, she was waiting. Say vomiting, eh? God punish you. That is, she fought. She said, lie, lie. This one, affliction will not rise a second time. She rejected it from the bottom of her heart. Say, ah, this one I won't take. And guess what happened? It didn't come. She now looked back and said, Kai, I brought that one upon myself. She said, that day I threw up only once. I went and laid down. My husband came and said, I've been vomiting this morning. Vomiting, say, yes, it is true. In fact, the one you didn't vomit today, you vomit it tomorrow. Let's just complete everything. That's what I mean. When I say, look, sometimes they just get tired. I remember once when I was in school, I had to have serious malaria at a particular point in time. Then one of our sisters, one day just pointed out to me that, do you realize that this period, every year, you fall sick like this? I said, is that so? I looked at it. Yeah, it's true. It's happened like 2-3 years in a row. It must have been about 3 years for her to have noticed. I said, don't worry, it's the last one. Do you know what? It was the last one. It was the last one. I said, ah, wait, wait, I'm waiting for all of you. All you evil spirits, you know, I'm waiting. It was a particular month. For that month is approaching. Me too, I'm approaching. Yeah, no, I've gone to collect Bible. Look, let me tell you how to fight. Go on, see, sometimes Christians, I've seen, the other day I saw somebody pray. One of my classmates, for already, this guy was praying. You know what they call prayer? I'll show you after, just remind me. He was shouting to the microphone. Ah, they look up, sweat small. Now I said, is this groaning? I said, the heaviest groaner in the Bible. What is his name? Jesus. And when he groaned, they hardly heard anything. In fact, he groaned within himself. Now when we want to groan, I will hold the microphone and groan. You know, say with the Christ. We're not normal because if it was really prayer, why are you using the microphone? Into the mic. See, Pentecostal does not mean we must be mad. Let's just relax. It is this. Screaming our head off as if something is. Look. I said, prayer is not all this noise making. Prayer is not all this noise making. You want to pray? Grab a Bible. That's the best way to pray. Just grab a script. Grab a script. People say, you know, have you heard this thing before? When you speak in tongues, you confuse the devil. I said, why do I need to confuse him? That guy was born confused. When I'm sleeping, he's confused. When I'm driving, he's confused. The most confusing part of his life is when I'm reading my Bible and I put the word of God on my lips. I'm not even trying to, whether you're confused, not confused, what do you concern? Cockroach confused, not confused. If I step on, I know go die. I beg Christians. See, the easiest way to pray, take the scriptures. Put the scriptures on your lips. I have found that the easiest way to boost up my faith, personally, you can have another method of imbibing the scriptures. For me, it's messages. I just put it, let it be plain. Let it be plain. My wife can tell you, I'm not feeling well. First thing I do, put message beside there. If you play, I will fall asleep. I will fall awake too. Have you? Yeah. We'll fall. It should be, it's just be plain again and again. It boosts faith in me. It does. It does. So, that time is approaching. I mean, I've collected the Bible. I will read. Faith is not, it's not a good. So that there, it's not there. So just, we say, where does it come from? Faith cometh how? By hearing. Take a heart that loves the word, grab the word, and pump it full of it. The faith will come, you won't even know it came. You know, many of the things that Abraham did now, were the ones calling it faith. Abraham did not know it was faith. I hope you know that. Abraham just did the do. Okay, he just did the do. He did not know it was faith. God said, go and sacrifice Isaac. Ah. It's not the same Isaac. He said, in Isaac will your seed be. He says the same one. Lord, excuse me. You said in Isaac with my seed be. Say, I said so. Then we should go and sacrifice him. Okay. Burnt offering. Ah. Burnt offering qua. Okay. Maybe you want to raise him up from the dead. Let's go. That's all. Is you and I that not know that by faith is sacred? No, the man just said, God said we should sacrifice Isaac. Isaac, come, let's be going. But in Isaac, your seed be, you must want to raise him up from the dead. Let's go. That's what you and I now call faith. If you are bragging on your faith, you probably don't have it. What is faith? It's a condition of the, let me use the word, it's an equipment of the soul. Just feel it in. How does it come? By hearing. By hearing. By hearing. So sometimes when you are tired or something, go and look for the word. I like the way the reference gave you the testimony. So he believed, and that's one of the things I want to share with us today. He didn't just believe that God used to heal. Why would God heal? Does he not have better things to do? So when they read his Bible, I like some men, the way they solve problems, if they have a question, they read the whole Bible. Some of us will use concordance and look for the relevant areas. Some men are not like that. They want to learn about something. They start from Genesis. And they take a pen and a marker. They mark the right, they mark the right. Then when they get to Revelation, they will have had the answer. That's how some men will. I mean, I grew up in this technology age. We started with Strong's Concordance. We just opened. We want to study on faith. Concordance, Crudence will have shown you all the references on faith. You just go there. Those men didn't have things like that to use. Or even if they had it, they didn't think they should use it. They just carry the Bible, say, okay, miracles, do they still happen today? I don't know. They carry the Bible from Genesis and read it till the end. And then they conclude and say, hey, I think it's happening today. Does the Holy Spirit still make people speak in other tongues? Say, I don't know. They carry the Bible from Genesis and read it to the end and tell you, say, yes, Jesus never said it will stop. Do men see angels? People see angels. How can you say you saw angels? You must be drunk. Sir, do they see angels? I don't know. Then they carry the Bible again. No, I'm not kidding. They mean that's what they used to do. They will read from beginning to the end. I don't know if they finish. Ah, look, this guy saw angel. This guy saw angel. Jesus, angel. Philip, angel. John, angel. Look at Peter. Angel woke him up. But then they finish. Look, John took a tour of heaven. They will say they were angels. They've answered it for you. Come to another question tomorrow. They go back to Genesis. After some time, they read the Bible so much. Any question you now have now, they just say, wait, let me rewind. There's someone that, I won't give you the name, all right? We wouldn't have told the story many times before. I think I read the story from him, actually. But anyway, they said one day they dared him to recite the whole of the New Testament by heart. The whole. From Matthew to Revelation. So the man said, no problem. So he had to sit in the open. So the bishop is not looking at anything. There was no technology like this. No one's absent. Nothing is here. He sat down. The book of the genealogies of Jesus Christ. And Abraham began. He just recited the whole thing. Then he got to a point. He stopped. He said, please. Oh, he forgot to put the punctuation. Should he go and start again?
Goodness.
He stopped. He said, oh, I forgot to tell you where punctuation mark is supposed to be. Maybe they should start again with punctuation mark. His wife said, it's only the Bible you can remember. Send him to the market, you know what I'm talking about. His wife said, send him to the market. Half of everything tell him to buy. He won't remember anything. But if it's the Bible, the guy said, but then they should start again so they can put punctuation marks. Faith comes by what?
Yeah.
This is when you go to YouTube a lot. Let YouTube know what you are looking for. Anytime they are preaching, thumbs up. Anytime they are preaching, whether you are listening or not, just put thumbs up. So YouTube will be giving you preaching. Anytime they are cracking stupid jokes, thumb down. I don't like this channel, thumbs down. At the end of the day, they will fill your head with the word. I believe that God wants us to have plenty of faith. That's why he has made plenty of word available. Because there's plenty work, there's plenty manifestation in this generation. They are fact. The Lord is good. All of this trying to emphasize something. I just get angry. I say, I'm tired of affliction. I'm tired of poverty. That's what I'm saying. Just personal anger. Personal anger. Stop looking for excuses for why it shouldn't work. Just get angry. That's all. Like the testimony of Mary Kay Ash, she had pain in her hands. She went to the doctor. The doctor said she had rheumatoid arthritis and she's going to get crippled. So she said, I'm coming. And she went to work. And years later, she said she was too busy for arthritis. That she had too many things to do. So arthritis, I had to leave her alone. Say, okay, madam, you don't have time to be nursing us, Abby. He said, I'll not get time. So arthritis, you can come back when I finish planning my business. Come back when I finish growing it. Come back when I finish making people rich. Come back when I finish doing the will of God for my life. You know, sometimes if you tell God you are tired of something, you say amen to that. He will say amen to it. He will say amen to say no. All right. If you say you don't want it anymore, we'll stop it there. You know, there was something, the reference preached a particular message. I can't remember the reference now. Talking about the prayer of desperation. Have you ever heard this one before? The king of Moab sacrificed his son. Who was to reign in his stead? And indignation turned against Israel. I've studied that thing. I don't want to teach on it now, but I think I have the answer. How many things were wrong there? Number one, he offered a human sacrifice. Number two, to who? If it's another God, which God was more powerful than the God of Israel that commanded indignation against Israel? Have you ever thought about that? The people of God, a man who served strange gods, offered a human sacrifice. We assume to one of those gods. And then he crippled the hand of the people of God. They couldn't fight anymore. Is it that human sacrifices work? Or there's a God that's more powerful than the God of Israel or Judah? Habba! Don't worry. It doesn't confuse me anymore. I've taken time to study it and pray about it. First, fact. Nobody but God can make the people of God turn back. Nobody else. How can one chase 1,000 or two chase 10,000 except their God gave them up? So that's a matter of fact. We know that. It's not Amadioha that was so strong. So we're back to the next question. One of the questions is that God accepted the human sacrifice? See. First, why did indignation come against Israel? It was indignation from God because of disobedience. You want to know? What happened was that after this sacrifice, God told them, go back home. And they said, no, we must win this battle. God said, are you crazy? I said, go back. They said, no, we must win the battle. I said, we should go back. When they wouldn't listen to God, they said, okay, fine. I told some angels, slap everybody. When they saw the hand of the battle go against them, they ran home. The question was that, why did God grant that? Now, I won't go into details about it, but there's a point a man gets to. He shouts to God, even though God is not happy with him. Go and see what he said about Esau. A time will come, you'll become restless. Even though I've said that you'll be his master, one time he will shake off that shroud and go, so boy, Abba, wait, now let you then bless. That is for you to keep Esau and his descendants under. You have to make them complacent. You want to know African countries, generally, they are very when you talk about that, complacency is part of the problems of humanity, especially African countries. The complacency is terrible. They like things not to work. They are against corruption because they are not the ones stealing. The moment you give them the opportunity to steal, you know that this guy never hated corruption. So that time we're shouting, corruption under one president, let me not mention names. And I say, Baba, no corruption is coming. We found out recently there was more corruption under him. Why? People like to steal. Telling you, if Esau will become restless, God will have told Jacob, relax. So you read the scriptures, you have to be careful. It says that this person is under a curse. God says, I know it's not a lie. I put Jacob above Esau. But if Esau would have dragged himself down to my throne and said, Lord, I'm tired of being under. You think I would have sent him back? I would never have sent him back. That tells that he never came. He kept on depending on his strength. That's why I had to tell him, even though they build, I will break it down. Because the man said, the walls were made with bricks. We will rebuild with stones. Ah, God said, what is all of this? He said, if they gather, I will scatter. People will soon know that these are a people against whom the Lord has indignation every day. What does that tell you? His strength was his might all the time. And that was what God was judging. Until now, he's judging. In the lives of Christians, if your strength is your might, God will still judge it. If Esau had gotten tired and had dragged himself to God and said, help me. That's when you know that Jacob, oh boy, don't be like that. This guy is not your brother. Esau wouldn't have been down forever. Telling you the truth. Complacency is a problem. Complacency is a problem. What happened to the king of Moab? God saw how desperate the man was. I have all kinds of testimonies. I still remember, this is a relative, was in hospital. The man, the woman, the husband had a surgery. Had surgery. Big surgery, big, everything was going good initially. Then things began to go bad. And you went here. Hey. Then doctors came, looked one day, wound was getting infected. Looked next day, things were getting worse. They now said, we'll have to go back to theater. The woman said, not here. Said no. At that point in time, she began to tremble. Started calling people, pray, pray, please pray. She got on her knees. God, I'm tired. The wound healed the next day. What are you talking about? You sick first, we not talk. You say, bring money for surgery, we bring. We come for operation, we don't do them now. Heal now, you want to tell us another story. At that point in time, they got to the end. Became desperate. That's a direct prayer spirit. I wish I could find it. The prayer of desperation. That why did it take God? They had been under attack for a day and a half. Then suddenly God rose up. Sorry, the reference just is not in my head right now. And defended his people. So the question was that why did they wait? Why did God wait for a day and a half when the half of the city was gone? He said, was meditating. The Lord said, that was when they got desperate and cried out. It wasn't as if God did it at the beginning. But at the beginning, they wanted to fight. They felt they could fight. After a day and a half of trying everything they had, and there was no help, everybody dropped their weapons and said, God, help. I read the story of one woman. One of these magazines, can't remember which one now. But she was going on the road. No, the way Americans like to hike. She was hiking in the bush. And she ran into a bear. A bear ran into her. A bear robbed of his corpse, like the Bible says. And this bear attacked. She couldn't outrun the bear. Now, you know, you can't run a bear. That thing looks fat, eh? Using bolts is not his mate. Looks big, you can't outrun it. Very sharp sense of smell. Very strong. Can rip your hand off at the joint. So the bear attacked this woman. She did everything she did because they trained them, those guys who hike, how to respond to a bear attack. Her bear spray, she don't use them. Attack the bear in the eye. They have done everything. No, one of the things they train you to do is to play dead. Bears don't fight dead things or people. All right? They don't eat, human beings or stuff like that. Okay? So she did the play dead thing. She played dead. The bear was not letting up. You know, it was going to tear her to pieces. She said she just cried. Now, this is not a Christian book. This is something like CNN article, Reader's Digest, one of those places I read it. She just cried. God, help me. The bear just dropped her and walked away. She just cried. God, help. The bear just dropped her like hot stuff. Turned around and walked away. Those who cry to him, he still answers. Those who cry to him, he still answers. Isaac married Rebecca. 20 years she did not conceive. Then when the Bible says, and Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife Rebekah's sake. And I said, wait, bro, Isaac, what happened? I'll tell you, that was when he became desperate. He got on his knees and said, God, the day Hannah got a breakthrough, you know what happened? See, that king of Moab, no God on this earth can turn. Look, Balaam told us now. Did he not tell us? He said, there's no enchantment against Jacob. No divination against Israel. There was nothing anybody could have done against those people, except their God turns against them. Why was it that he answered, I don't know the depth, but I know only God could have turned against the people. When he sacrificed his first son that should have reigned in his stead, God had mercy on him and told his own people, leave him. Leave him, he's okay, go back home. And they said, no, we are winning. I said, go back home. They said, we are winning. 200 angels, slap all of them. So the angels of God stopped fighting for the people of God. And the disciplining angels came and beat all of them backwards. Come on, go home. God said you should leave somebody. You are not the messy person. You serve a merciful God. What's wrong with you? The guy's first son is dead. The judgment of God upon him never is that level. So leave him. We'll come back another day. Let him sin some more. You don't know God, they measure this thing. He said, let him sin. The sin is not enough. Leave him. Just go home. I wish I could find that scripture. That this man used to pray that prayer of desperation. The story I was telling you about the patient in UNTH, somebody I know, family person, that they said, everybody pray. We'll go through this again. I've been here for the last 10 days. Now they're telling me the wound has broken down and they are going back to the theater. How long are we going to stay here? And they say, God. Like this man said to God. He said, God, if you don't come here and touch me, I'm coming up there to touch you. He said, I was so hungry. I prayed and prayed and said, God, I want you on fire. He said, God, if you don't come down here, touch me. He was a young man, like 18, 19, 20, thereabouts. If you don't come down here and touch me, just watch. I'm coming up there to touch you. Because he felt he was going to die. God said, okay, let's have some peace. He poured anointing on him. It was so bad. So the anointing, bad in quote now, was so heavy that if he stands up, people fall down. And he's sitting down. And he stands, everybody around there will fall off their chair. So because he said, I was so desperate. I was so desperate. I was tired of life the way it was. Even Esau could have broken off the shackles, the bondage, if he ever became restless. Of course, no matter how restless you become, you have to know where to go. That's in Genesis chapter 27. In verse 4, it says, by your sword you shall live, and your brother you shall serve. But it shall come about when you become restless, that you will break his yoke from your neck. You know what I found out about God? He made deliverance available for everybody. You have to look for the way of deliverance. You have to look for the way of deliverance. He made it available for every person. You just need to look and say, where is my own way of deliverance? You know, sometimes I read my scriptures, I realize that. Sometimes you look at it. Cosby Canaan, a servant of servants he will be. And you're like, God, why do you put some people under like this? And of course, many people have disagreed with me. As a minister, we're talking some weeks ago. He refused. Me and Pastor Craig were on one side. He was on the other side. That there's no cross. Finally, I said, okay. He said, what's the solution? I said, the solution is Christ Jesus. He said, okay, is that where you were going? I said, of course, that's where we're going. He said, okay, in that case, I agree with you. All the while, he thought we were saying that there's no solution. I said, no, God, there is a solution. Because there's a reason why people revolt against that teaching. But truth, I've read up and down, I've studied, I've read the scriptures. I believe it is true that God commanded, he broke people into groups in this life. There were the Shemites, there were the descendants of Japheth, and there were the descendants of Ham. Ham had four sons. What were their names? Cush, Put, Mizraim, and Canaan. And most of them, like those Canaanites, what I found out from the scriptures was because that Moses wrote what he said, cursed be Canaan. Not because he was mistaken, but because, okay, I wouldn't say he was mistaken, all right? But he was focusing his narrative. They were about to go and take the land of Canaan. So he was explaining the background. But that same curse was on Put, was on Cush, and was on Mizraim. A lot of the descendants have disappeared. A friend of mine says that when he gets to heaven, he's going to look out for Noah and tell him, brother Noah, please come. Let's explain this. Iron it out. Why will you be so angry and do this to a people? You've heard my story that I don't watch black history films. I can't stand them. I can't. It hurts me to my bones. I was in Ghana at the Cape Coast castle and the Elmina castle, and they showed us where they would put a slave that's too restless. He would not agree to be chained down, causing trouble. And what does he want to export? They thrust him inside a hole, close the door. He dies on hunger and thirst inside there. Yes, they were cruel to those people. You take 300 slaves, 50 to 100 will die on the way. They toss them into the water and continue sailing. Well, let me not sit on it. But I know what I found out. God was judging spirits. He wasn't judging people. What do I mean? Anybody could have extricated himself at any time. He said eunuchs could have joined themselves to God. And we see it. The descendants of Moab, they were not accepted in the presence of God. Yet, Ruth made it. Rahab was a harlot. She made it. When they were writing the genealogy of Jesus Christ later, these are the only two women they put inside. Was it Hannah or so? One of them, another woman they put. I found out that her name wasn't there. It was not Hannah. What's her name? Tamar. Eh? Tamar. No. Was it Tamar? Yes. No, there's another woman. Bathsheba. I found out Bathsheba was not there. It was the translator that put it. They said by she that was the wife of Uriah. They didn't put her name. I was in my Bible. I just thought, they didn't even put your name. The women that they named were very few. Two of them. I think they named only three or four. Bathsheba was not there. It's the translators that put Bathsheba. Those scribes didn't write Bathsheba. He said, by she that was the wife of Uriah. Did they not know her name? He said, I believe that. Let's go to where the cocoa is. They carefully wrote for us the name of Ruth and of a harlot called Rahab. That is anyone who joins themselves to God, he will by no means cast out. It's not today. Did Jesus not say it? Who's that person? A Syrophoenician woman. Oh, they are Gentiles now. Well, yes. This is not for them. You know what Jesus was saying? He said, my daughter is sick. He said, look, is it right to give the children's food to dogs? The woman said, yeah, you're right. But when the children eat, crumbs fall from the table. That's what I'm asking for. What did Jesus say? Daughter, great is your faith. He said, now, that thing I said was not your own. Actually, it's your own. I was just waiting for your faith. What was I telling you? Even what people did not supposedly deserve, by faith they can collect it. Look, it's for people to be desperate. That woman was desperate. So that I'm not going anywhere. You will bless me. You know, God sometimes wants people to be desperate too. I found out, look, if you're not serious about it, God too is not serious about it. See, this is our country here. To be honest with you. God is raising, what he's trying to do is to raise enough people who want the country. You know, I prophesied this thing years ago. That thus says the Lord, if you want this country, I will give you. And I feel like he's saying that, look, I will give you individually, self. As a group, I desire to give you. But if individuals will stretch their hands, I will cut a huge chunk of this land and give you. I'll just cut a huge chunk of it and say, take. I give you in all kinds of ways. I give you influence. I give you land. I give you money. I give you businesses. I give you all kinds of things. If you want it, I give you. It's not a big deal. But your people don't want it. Banky, can't you say they don't want it? I give them small thing. They quickly change their money to dollar and run abroad. So all the while they were praying, they were just looking for ticket money. They did not go and tell him that Dangote he has a cartel. Have you ever seen a businessman that's just trying to break his own cartel? They like it. All over the world, Americans had to make laws against monopoly because a normal businessman likes it. If today Google wants to buy Facebook, America will not agree. Because thank you. If tomorrow this, you hear that Apple wants to take over Android, America will, if our Europeans, Canadians, South Americans, Indians, and Nigerians say, we all agree, say, Lila, we don't agree. But the businessmen like to do it. So me, I don't have time to be fighting Dangote or somebody. He wants it, and listen to this, God gave him. God said, if you want, I will give you too. Why are you fighting somebody? You think there are enough cement companies in Nigeria? There's not enough. I can still give you 10. You want to build your own refinery? It's not an issue now. Why do you think they call me God? If I do like this, refineries come up. If there's no crude, I do like this. Oil will be oozing from everywhere in your neighborhood. What is this thing? I don't even have to come down. I tell one angel, you know these lies they tell you that this thing was made 10 billion years ago. God, leave that thing. See, is it oil you're looking for? Where do you want it? I say, I want my own in one state where nobody knows anything can happen. One corner of Benin, he said, go and dig. Is it God that diverse water? Is it oil? Didn't you remember? Look, this everywhere is dry. He said, I make a river in the wilderness. He said, Saudi Arabia has oil. God said, I can dry it up anytime. The earth is mine. Everything is mine. Everything is mine. Everything is mine. Many of you are there angry with those who ask me. If you want, I will give you two. What are we talking about? What are we talking about? He said, your people don't want. If I give them something small like this, hey, well, they don't travel. They sell their inheritance because they say they want a future for their children. They are not complaining. He said, Hezmer is taking over your village. You, do you want the village? The other day I saw somewhere in UK. Let me not give you some of my own ideas. They have a new prime minister. That's let me not say anything. Anyway, the other day I saw all of them. They're having a protest. That they want their old ways back. Because people are tired. Why? The people from Arabian countries, the Muslims, have taken over everything. Now suddenly they are waking up and say they are tired, they want it back. I say, good. If you sustain this, God will give you back. But God says, I won't give you back what you want to. I will give you back what you should have. I don't know whether I get my point. If you want the old ways back, you go back to the old ways. You will go to church. You can't refuse to go to church and the most person is buying it and come back tomorrow and you are shouting. You know, there's something, let me tell you something about, I've been saying this for a long time. I finally got proof of it recently. You know, I said that God gave a commandment to Islam to take anything the Christians don't want. Yeah, I've said this before. First I said it. People say, what? I said, yes, it's a commandment. It's not a devil thing. It's God. Say if they are not serious, take their church, take their land. Take their children. So then I found out that when Jesus said, get behind me, Satan, the literal Hebrew says, Greek says, follow behind me. So anytime they reject Christ, you can have them. Anytime they reject Jesus Christ, the Lord said, you can have them. That literally said, follow behind me. You know, I was listening to Derek Prince teach. He said that's why the Antichrist has to come where Christ was rejected. That's where he's going to come out from. Can't come out from where they never knew Christ. They have to know Christ first and reject him. And the word of the Lord will be fulfilled. Listen, where am I going? When I saw UK who made mountain protest, I said, you want it back now? Because there's no problem. If you want it, I will give you. Except that you have to take it on my terms. Because if you want to use it, would you just drive the Arabs and the Muslims away? I will make you so poor, you will beg him to come back. But if you want it back, you get it back on my terms. You will go to church. See those buildings, you will go and worship there again. Then I give you your nation back and suspend judgment for some time, hoping there will be a revival. Talking about desperation. Listen, what Satan does many times is to teach us complacency. You hear what I said? It teaches us what? Complacency. Let's go back to the issue of money. People are talking about prosper and being health. That's why I say, look, just tell yourself, I'm a giver. That is, giver is not just about giving offering in church. This life, I must prosper so I can help people. People say, things are so expensive. How you pay your children's school fees? See, my children are 4 now. I'm planning to pay 20, 30. I'm not even planning to stop. So maybe you will count and say, I've paid children's school fees directly, the one I handed directly for 1,000 people. But when I set up foundations, they won't be able to count that one. They're not telling me that your children, which school they go to? I said to God, if I have to build the whole university for my children, I will. And God will say, amen. You know, there's a way you approach the Lord there. Say, which school are they all running to? He says, Harvard. He says, okay, you know what? They are going to open a branch in Enugu. You know they open branch. This is not money they are looking for. Chinese were very smart. Chinese people say, no, you don't need to go to Harvard. We'll bring Harvard to you. You know what they do? Chinese people. They go and ask the professor in Harvard, how much are you earning? That one will say $200,000 a year. Say, we'll give you $400. Come and teach in Beijing. He's my father in America. I'm Chinese. America is so afraid of it. If you're a science person, they won't agree for you to go. Or if you go, there are things you can't teach. Otherwise, they'll put you in prison. Yes. Or if it's business, you can go. You go to Beijing, you see top American professors there teaching Chinese people. Where am I going? Because if that's the issue, you say, I want my children to have international. God said, don't worry. I can bring them to your house. I can make them know you personally. You'll be the one to pay their flight tickets to come to Nigeria and teach. I'll make your son the chancellor of a university. What do you think about that? And you say to the Lord, do it. And you say, amen. Done. Then one day your son will come and say, Daddy, we're opening the university. That time you are 80 years old. And you come out and look at the campus as far as your eyes can see. And it's another of your children that gave him half of the money. That's the kind of thing God does. He told Abraham, I will make your name great. I will bless you. You will be a blessing. But Satan is trying to tell you that just go abroad where, you know, the state will take care of your children. You don't need to pay school fees. You know? Let me tell you, abroad, where you don't pay school fees, you can't tell them what to do. Those who want to tell their children what they want, they take them to private schools. Where you teach my children there's God. Where you teach them righteousness. You can't go to a public school and be talking nonsense. Free things get cost though. Free things have a cost. Some of my friends moved to UK long ago. That was when they discovered that they were Catholics. We didn't go together for a long time. They never knew they were Catholics. When they got there, they said, no, my children can't go to these public schools. We have to go private. They can't afford it. The best we'll do was to start going to church. They started going to mass regularly. I'm not a Catholic. It ended when they let them go. Why? Because the schools they could go to, they could afford, were Catholic schools. Except that you need to be a Catholic. The Reverend Father has to write something for you. Yeah. That's what my friends never say. See, free thing is... Hey. They run Belem. He's shouting, free. God said, what are you looking for free for? I can bless you so much, you will make it free. You'll be the one making it free. Not the one looking for the free. Not the person looking for the free one. You'll be the giver of free. You know, let me tell someone that's paying God every day. And I can feel it. He's just feeling bad. Say, my people don't ask me to do anything for them. They don't ask. They make noise. Say, Lord, but they are praying. Say, hey, which kind of prayer? Say, this one, say, who possesses the land? Okay, shall I show you? Okay, come. This guy said he wants to possess the land. All right. I gave him small, not the land yet, though. I just gave him the soil. There's no difference between soil and land. Some people don't even know that one. Land is a... How do I say this? Thank you. Land is a territory. Soil is just particles of humus and clay and just mixed up for you to grow something. But land is that... You know, when you own land, you own it to the sky and to the core of the earth. But when it is soil, you just pack two bags for you. Can you see the way you carry soil to go and plant something in your house? Nobody they fight now. Well, go and build on the land where you collected that soil. That is when you know there's war. Because I've just given them small soil. I never give them land, though. Now soil. They have sold their inheritance. Small money that is. They carry on. Don't go buy a house for one strange country. They fly all over the place. They finally say, I want my children to have the best education. They've left. They've left. Do you want to have a pastor who will leave their church? And you're like, who's going to pastor them? Because he has small money. I say, he doesn't want the land. If he wanted the land, I would have given him. He wanted small money. I've given him small money and he's happy. You know what? Thank God for all the big, let's talk on natural plane now. All the big rich men who control, I'm not talking about people who have money. There are a lot of thieves in Nigeria that have money. Okay, but I'm talking about people who actually build industries, who build factories, who employ labor, who are making things run. Do you understand? Thank God for them in this country. If you know what I mean, I know they say this man, government helped him. I say, if you want God to help you, he will help you. Let's leave government out. God will help you. So stop being jealous of somebody who government helped. There's nowhere in the world government doesn't help people. There's nowhere. In America, government, the car companies are complaining, they are putting tariff on importation from China. Is that not government help? It's government help. There's nobody that government doesn't help. I didn't even know that in America, they also lend money. Government lends money to real estate developers to build houses. Why? Because they see people must live in houses and they can't build them. So they lend money. So someone, go ahead and go to God says, see, this is why I don't bless people. They are too angry with people that have helped. I thank God for all those people. But where I'm going is this. I think about it a number of times. I say, God, you can do much more than this for your children. Yes. Yes. I know what he's saying. I can. And I want to. But they're not interested. Do you know the people of Israel were struggling to go back to Egypt? Can you believe that? And a lot of people today, they are struggling to go to their own Egypt. Why were they going back to Egypt? It's simple. What? Cucumbers, garlic. They were running to go back to India, because if it's garlic, it must be India they were going to. Till now, people are rushing to go back to cucumbers and garlic and bondage. Why do people forget bondage when they see cucumbers? See, anytime you're heading for the promised land, the road is rough, small. Did you get my point?
Yes, sir.
The road will be rough a bit. There's no promised land that doesn't have giants in them. Do you know what I found out? Read your Bible from the beginning to the end. No Israelite went down because of any giant. Not one. Not one. The day David was old and tired, one of the relatives of Goliath almost killed him. God moved one of his men. They helped him. But it didn't go on record. God was careful about that. Don't record anywhere. Whether it happened or not, I don't care. But I don't believe it happened. That a giant attacked the Israelites and he killed them. No, read your Bible from the beginning to the end. You don't find it. And there were fearful giants though. You know when Goliath came out, even Saul didn't come out. In case, when I say even, Saul was a head and a neck taller than everybody else. Everybody was on his shoulder. You know that? Goliath came out, he didn't come out. What does that tell you? There were giant problems. Israel had, when those guys said we saw giants in the land and were like grasshoppers in their sight, it was not a joke. For that reason, now that what Satan does is to discourage people. They were discouraged. So God didn't have a choice but to lay them down in the wilderness. What am I saying? Your inheritance that you want to enter, you will see giants in front. There will be giants. You will see the giants like this. But God says, don't worry about the giants. Do you want the inheritance? You say yes, then let's work together. These giants, they will vaporize, just watch them. And there are some giants that they don't even vaporize. God sends them to go and work for you. So these giants will be following you up and down. Why? There are some rocks you want to carry. Don't strain yourself. Tell the giants to. Yes. Some of the people you are abusing today, giants in this land, one day they are going to give you $10 million to do business. Yes. Because I commanded them. I commanded them to help you. The times politicians are buying house, buying land. I said, people don't be angry. Leave it. Let them be buying. Because one day we need to buy these things back. Yes, now. You went and bought land and house and everything, 500 million, and we don't have. And we'll wait for you. We'll wait. Then one day we'll say, God will say, sell. And I'll say, oh, God, they're here. How much? 40 million. I bought the 500 million. That's what I have. And God will say, sell to him. Say, okay. Just give me 100. Okay, 40 this year, 40 next year, 20 when I remember. The man said, just take. See, there's one man in this city. Eh? These are the men that the billions of those they carried it cash around. Then one day I heard he will call one of our brothers. Barista, how far now? Anything for your guy? You gotta go wire on 20,000 naira. I'm not kidding. Yes. So how much do you think he sold his car? How much think they sell houses at such times? Because they just wait. Don't be angry. This thing that will collect them back. Do you know that's what God is saying? See all the money people are stealing. I will collect them back. If you like sell, steal money, carry house, do everything, I will collect it back. And I will give it to the person that I want. So don't be afraid of giants. Who will spend time? You know, what people do every day is just magnify problems, magnify politicians, magnify crime, magnify banditry, magnify all kinds of problems. They don't magnify the Lord. They don't magnify. And that's why they are afraid. See, people depart from their inheritance. Some are looking and say, Abba, you're running to Egypt. Now, you know what Egypt is? Cucumbers, garlic, and slavery. That's what Egypt is. You want the cucumbers, you want the garlic, but there is slavery waiting. See, because there are giants on the road to my promised land, I'll run away. I say it again. There's just one clause I've added to it. That thus says the Lord to the church in Nigeria. If you want this country, I will give you. And this is a clause I'm adding to it. To the individuals, the Spirit says also, I will cut a huge chunk of it and give you, if you want it. Bow down your head. I want you to pray. Say, Lord, I'm tired of sickness. I'm tired of poverty. I reject it. I will no longer take pride in it. No storytelling. No excuses. I'm just tired. Say, no storytelling. No excuses. I am just tired. Say, Lord, move in my life. Lord, move in my life. No storytelling. No excuses. I'm just tired. I'm tired of this status quo. He said, you have moved around this mountain long enough. Time to turn northward. That's what God said. Say, Lord, I turn into perfect health. I want you to do something. Say, start biting against every little affliction. If it's an allergy, say, I'm tired of it. Why should I be allergic? I don't want allergy again. Not that I just know how to manage it. Why should I be managing it? Why should you be taking blood pressure medicine for 40 years? Yeah. I said, Lord, no, this thing has to end. It has to end. Say, Lord, I am tired. I reject affliction. I reject confusion. I reject bondage. I will not be like Issachar. go and give myself over to bondage because of garlic, because of cucumbers. No. Said to the Lord, I reject it. I reject bondage. I reject poverty. I reject it. I receive life. Life works in me. Life, abundant life works in me. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is working in me. It's giving life to my mortal body. Say the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is working in me. It's giving life to my mortal body. The spirit is in me. The spirit is in me. Say this is the will of God concerning me. That I prosper and be in health. Even as my soul prospers. Say, Lord, I walk in the truth. The truth of Jesus Christ. Say, Lord, I walk in the truth. The truth of Jesus Christ. I walk in the truth. The truth of Jesus Christ. I walk in the truth. Therefore, I reject oppression. Headache. Heart disease. Stomach problem. Ulcer. Weak eyesight. I reject it in the name of Jesus. I speak to the prosperity of God come into my life. I bless my children. You will be mighty in this land. He says, you mark the righteous man. His seed will be mighty on the earth. Call your children one by one. Call their names. You will not beg. You will not be average. You will not lack. God will make all grace abound towards you. You will abound to every good work. Having all sufficiency in all things. No matter how small that affliction is not yours. So reject it. Say, Lord, I reject it. I refuse to get used to these things. And Lord, all these years I've been used to it. I'm sorry. I apologize. Say, they tempted God in the wilderness and limited the Holy One of Israel. Say, Lord, for limiting you. That's why I'm apologizing. I say, Lord, I will not limit you again. Now I want you to say to Lord, say, Lord, work your miracle in my life. I receive it. I receive the gifts of healings. I receive the working of miracles. I receive faith by the Spirit. I receive faith by the Spirit. I receive faith by the Spirit. The ability to believe God for great things. I receive faith by the Spirit. The ability to see hope where people see hopelessness. The ability to see the future being bright where people say it is bleak. I receive faith by the Spirit. Oh, I need you to receive it. Say, Lord, I receive faith by the Spirit. Faith by the Spirit. Faith by the Spirit. I receive it. Faith. Faith. Faith by the Spirit. I receive it. Faith by the Spirit. I receive it. Faith by the Spirit. I receive it. Faith by the Spirit. Faith by the Spirit. I receive faith. What is faith? The ability to see. That's what faith is. The ability to see. The ability to know. The ability to activate the promises of God. The Spirit entered into me. It's the Spirit of faith. Oh Lord, let it enter into me now. I receive the Spirit of faith. Faith by the Spirit. Oh, what is faith? The ability to see. What is faith? The ability to know. What is faith? The ability to understand the mind of God. What is faith? The ability to receive that which God has spoken. That is faith. Say, Lord, I receive faith by the Spirit. 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 What is it for? To activate everything God wants to do in my life. To activate everything God wants to do through me. To activate the fulfillment of the desire of God. Oh, say, Lord, this life will give you glory. I want to... Paul said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Don't you want to experience something? Don't you want a testimony? Habba. Say, Lord, I must have my own testimony. I must have my own testimony. My testimony to show that my God is great. To show that my God is alive. To show that my God is not just a creator, but is a creator God that is still in charge, in power. Huh? What is it concerning Jesus Christ? He said, no one can do these things except God is with him. I want people to know that God is with me. And Jesus said, except a man be born again. Say, Lord, I'm born again. I receive faith by the Spirit so I can see the kingdom of God. I receive faith by the Spirit. I receive faith by the Spirit. So this is my season of the demonstration of the Spirit and of the power of God. I need to say that at least seven times. So this is my season of the demonstration of the Spirit and of the power of God. This is my season of the demonstration of the Spirit and of the power of God. This is my season of the demonstration of the Spirit and of the power of God. This is my season of the demonstration of the Spirit and of the power of God. This is my season of the demonstration of the Spirit and of the power of God. This is my season of the demonstration of the Spirit and of the power of God. In this my life, I will see God. In this my flesh, I will see the Lord. In this my flesh, I will see the Lord. In this my flesh, I will see the Lord. Yes, I will hold the Lord's miracle in my hand and say, this is what the Lord has done. He said, why is that boy's name Samuel? He said, because I received him from the Lord. I received him from the Lord. Nobody else could have done it. I received him from the Lord. Say, Lord, it's my Samuel season. It's my Samuel season. It's my Samuel season. It's my Samuel season. Lord, it's my Samuel season. It's my Samuel season. It's my Samuel season. It's my Samuel season. Oh, Gelebando Rista. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Let's just rejoice in the Lord. Lord, we rejoice in you. We rejoice in you. We rejoice in you. We rejoice in you. Faithful God, good God, powerful God. Powerful God. Thank you. Thank you. We give you all the praise. We give you all the praise. In the name of Jesus, we have prayed.
Thank the Lord for the entrance of his word. Let's thank the Lord for what we have received. We have indeed had a supernatural experience. There has been an outpouring of grace into our lives. We have entered a new realm. We have entered a new season. You have walked into a new door. Lift up your hands and thank the Lord.